I have a burden on my heart tonight, and I feel really desperate for the Lord to speak to each one of us. It's a bit of a warning, but it's also a message about the hope of what the Lord can do for you tonight. I'd ask you a question. Are you in control of your life? Are you in control of your life? I'm not asking the person next to you if they think you're in control of your life. I'm asking you if you are in control of your life. And I don't mean this in the sense that, well, life just happens and I can't control it. I mean, can you do what you want to do when you want to do it? And not in the same way that sometimes I might just do what I want when I should be doing something else. I mean, do you have the power and control of your life? One of the songs that was sang talked about the world was my master. And the devil's desire tonight is to entrap us,
yes,
and to be our master.
That's yes. Right.
And there is a power that the devil has, that sin has, that causes us, can cause us, to be in a place where we are not in control of our life.
Right.
There's a phrase people will say, well, I have good intentions.
Yeah.
And there are good intentions. I mean, I want to do what is good, or I want to do what is right. I remember one time when I was going through a tough time, making some bad choices, and was confiding in someone, and they said, well, you have a good heart. And at the time, I thought that sounded like a good thing. But as I went along, I realized there was a lot that was meant in that I had a good desire, but I certainly didn't have the ability to follow through on that desire. I want to warn you tonight that, and it doesn't matter how old you are, we could say, oh, this is for the young people about life. The devil is real tonight.
Yes.
He is just as real as anything that you can touch under this tent. And he has a desire to trap you in your life.
Yes.
And he knows you very well. And he has traps that I believe are made kind of tailor-made. There are parts of us in our humanity that are subject to certain things. We have endorphins. We have different things in our body that react, and the enemy knows that. And there are things that he, traps that he has set, that kind of pull you little bit by little bit, but the end of them is a chain that you can't get away from.
Right.
And if you have any doubt about that, spend some time in some places where people have got caught in. Do you think they want to be in those places? We don't. People don't want to live in a place of heartache,
right,
or where they don't have the ability to escape. But it's the enemy's desire to put each one of us in that position.
Yes.
And some things that can seem so innocent or not mean that much, we need wisdom, and we need to have an understanding that there are many attractions,
right,
in this world that the end of them will bind you, and you will no longer be in control of your own life. There's a lot of different kinds of bondages. You can be in bondage to religious things. You
That's
can be
right.
in bondage to
yes.
ideas. You can be in bondage to rules. So the question I ask is, let me read you what the definition of liberty is. Liberty is the state of being free from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority in one's life. There's another description that says the power or scope to act as one pleases. And in a sentence it says individuals should enjoy the liberty to pursue their own interests and preferences. So are you at liberty tonight? Can you pursue your interests, and are you in control of what those interests are? I believe that all mankind, they come to an understanding and a knowledge of their need for God. And when we choose to live in the Father's house, and I'll read a couple of verses here in a minute, that there is a power and a liberty that God gives us to choose Him.
Yes.
And the Lord, don't get me wrong tonight, the Lord gives us a free will to choose whether we'll serve Him or not. But if you don't exercise that free will, yes, you do not have a free will. Okay? When we choose not to follow the things of God, there is a bondage that is in our life that we do not have control over.
That's right.
And the Lord can come along and He can bring a song like that about Father's house. He can bring an inspiration of hope, and there's a draw within us. And if we'll respond to that, there is a power that God has to break every chain that is in your life tonight. He can set you at liberty and put you in control of your life, in a sense. We give that control to the Lord. But there's a song we sing that says we go where we want, we do what we please. And you can like that song or not like that song. The point is that the interest and the desires of my heart are set in a place that I can follow. And who of us doesn't want to enjoy the joy and the peace and the happiness that we can obtain in this life? So the Lord gives us a free will and a free choice. But if we don't choose to serve Him, there is a power that will bind you.
Yes.
And you don't have a choice any longer. There is a master.
Yes.
And if you're not living in Father's house, you're under the power of that master.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if people think you're living in the house.
Right.
That's why I said, I ask you personally, are you in control of your life? Do you live under the power of the Spirit of God, or do you live by the mastery of another? And I know what I'm talking about tonight. When He plays His sound, I have to respond to it.
Right.
When you're in this place, when the enemy begins to make his call, you can have every desire not to want to do that.
Right.
You really don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You can say, I don't want to. You can grit your teeth. You may even resist, but you do not have the power to overcome the enemy. He is your master.
Yes.
You are not in control of your life.
Yes.
And the end of that is it. And a master has the choice of how something ends. Mm-hmm. I want to read you a couple of scriptures. The first one I want to read you, we all hear this story as children. I want to talk to you a little bit about Samson. He's in the 16th chapter of Judges. I want to read a couple of verses here. In the fourth verse it says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. I don't know if you can see it with your spiritual eyes, but the devil has a lot of Delilahs that he wants to put around you, and he's offered them 1,100. There's the traps that he sets. And in this part, it says that Samson loved this woman. So already he had lost the battle to a certain extent. His affections had gone out to something that was not going to have a good end to it.
That's right.
The scripture tells us that we have to guard our heart with all diligence, that we have to be careful about the things that we're attracted to, the things that we set our heart upon. Because the things that we set our heart upon,
yes,
is where our feet are going to go.
That's right.
And Samson, yes, set his heart up. And I don't know in my mind when I think about this Delilah anyway, I can paint a picture probably of the attraction that he felt. There were reasons why he was attracted to her.
That's right.
But do you not think the devil is not going to play upon your propensities and your desires and paint something that draws after your heart? But this woman did not have his best interest at heart. They had paid her off.
That's right.
And if you read this lesson, he just kept pushing the envelope.
Yes.
He'd tell her a little bit, wouldn't tell her the truth, And essentially he was getting, you know, we've heard it since we're young, right? You get a little closer, get a little closer. The problem was, is he was in control, and then he all of a sudden, he wasn't any longer. In the 16th verse, it says, "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man."
Yes.
Come to the point that he lost the control. And we know that the story of Samson, that once she cut his hair, they bound him, they plucked his eyes out, that his power and his ability to withstand was gone. And it doesn't matter how sorry he was at that point. And I think about someone, and I've been there, trapped in this place. I'm not here to beat you over the head or to make you feel so guilty for being in that place. But we have to understand the place we're in for God to save us from that place. I have to realize, I have to come to the point where I say, Lord, I don't have control any longer.
Yes.
I can't do the things that I want to do. And I got too close and it got a hold of me and I gave my heart to it like Samson did, and now I've lost it.
Yes.
I'm stuck.
Yes.
I have to get to the point where I'm willing to tell God, I'm stuck.
Yes.
I can't get out of this any longer. I love the story. I love the spirit. I love the way that God, when Jesus told the parable of the prodigal son, that God knows, he knew. That man, he went into there, into the pig pen. He had great ideas. His heart, he wanted to do some things. But some things got a hold of him and trapped him and brought him down and took everything that he had. And he had to come to the place where he said, I'm tired of eating what I'm eating.
Right.
And there's a place where I can have control and have the good things. And I don't care if I have to just open and close the door. I don't have to sweep the floor. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm willing to do, if I can just escape the master that has me here. I'll tell you a story. I told this many years ago, so if you remember it, just remember it again. I went swimming off the beach in Daytona Beach. I was a young man, spry and strong. And I was out there in the water swimming. It's by myself. I was on a business trip. And there was a current that was occurring in the water, and I could feel it. And it was pulling me away from the shore. And what I did is, in my wisdom, I thought I was in control, is I saw that there was a pole in the sand up on the beach. And I identified that pole as a marker, and I'd swim and I would get pulled out a little bit, and I'd see that, and I've got to get back to where I was before. Yeah. And I had control. I could step back and I could get back where I was before and enjoying the water and jumping the waves, and I was having a fine old time, but I was keeping an eye. I didn't want to get too far from where I had control, and I'm not a great swimmer. And I remember the feeling that all of a sudden, I looked back and that marker was a long ways away. And I went to put my feet down and there was no ground. And the water started to go over my head. I started to drink it. I started to taste it. Fear gripped me right here in the chest. I got so scared. As I was trying to put my feet down in the water, and I could feel the current pulling me. And I know I'm not a good swimmer. And that pole was just, as it through the salt water, I could see the pole was just getting further away. And all the stories even went through my head. It's going to be in the paper. My two young children at home, their father died out on the Daytona Beach, swimming out in the water. And there come a point where I just, in desperation, absolute desperation, I put my head down and I just swam as hard as I knew how. And I'll tell you, I actually didn't know which way I was swimming. I was that disoriented, that scared, that I just put my head down and I swam as hard as I could until I felt like I couldn't anymore, and then I tried to stand up. And that was a moment of truth.
Yes.
Did I make it or not?
Yeah.
And this was, I'm telling you this, the Lord saved me that day.
Yeah.
Because when I put my feet down, you would have laughed at me then because the water was about right here at that point. So I'm sure the last few minutes I was flailing in water that was not very deep. But I didn't know where I was at.
Yes.
And that lesson has stayed with me for over 20 years.
Yeah.
That I can know what is right, and
that's
I can
right.
know where the safety is, and
that's
I can
right.
get a little bit further. But there's a current that is in this world that will take you to a place where your feet cannot touch the ground.
That's right.
It'll take you to a place where the water is over the head, and you get that fear in your chest, and I'm not in control any longer. I was okay for a while. I was secure. I was sure of where I was at. But then I wasn't.
Yeah.
And there has to be the Lord is waiting. I'm telling you, the Lord is waiting to hear that desperate cry. Because
yes.
He knows where we are tonight.
Right.
And if you're in that place that your feet aren't touching the ground,
yes.
the Lord is listening for that cry because He wants to be able to help us to put us back where we know we're supposed to be.
Right.
And the thing about this is that I can have some things that are really in a good place, that I'm pretty careful, that as far as everyone else knows, these things are lined up pretty well. But I know.
Yes.
I know where my heart is, and I know whether I'm in control
right.
or whether I've lost it. I'll read you a couple verses here. I wrote them down. You can turn to me if you want to, but I'll be quick. John 8:44 and 1 Peter 5:8. One says, "You are of the father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." And the other in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." So number one, the devil is a liar. And he will lie and tell you that there's no hope for the place that you're in. He built the trap. He gets people caught in those places. And then he convinces them that there's no escape from it.
Right.
He's a liar.
Yes.
So he's lying to you when he tells you that there's no hope for you.
Right.
It really doesn't matter how many times you've tried to escape that place, and maybe you've been unsuccessful or you've been caught up. It is still a lie from the devil. As long as you have breath and you feel that prick from the Lord, he's telling you there is a way.
Yes.
And it's the devil that tells us, not for us,
right.
not for me. Because of this, it's because of that. I can't escape this. And if you are in control of your life tonight, by the help of the Lord, then he tells us to be sober and to be vigilant.
Yes.
I've got to be careful. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. The things of this life are not going to last. And the traps that the enemy set is to keep us in this place. When the Lord has something that's so much better. He has a life for us, an abundant life. But this roaring lion, he seeketh whom he may devour. I want to read you a scripture in James, in the first chapter. In the 12th verse. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Things that interest me. I have interest. I'm human. I have things that interest me. And there is a pure way that we can live in this world, but the enemy has the desire to work upon the interest and the desires and to draw and to pull.
Yes.
And then to pull us in a place that we know is not what God is pleased with.
Right, that's right.
And that place, that very close place, the Spirit of the Lord is faithful to bring to us the knowledge and the inspiration when we're getting close. You can't tell me tonight if you're caught in one of those traps that you did not feel the Lord come. He's faithful to do it. He's faithful to show me. The enemy comes and there's that drawing and there's some enticement, and there comes a point that kind of like Samson, and my heart starts, the Lord is faithful to come. And I can't say, well, it was God that allowed this to happen, or it's God that put me here. It is the roaring lion that desires to destroy us.
Correct.
And he brings that temptation, and he draws, and he pulls. And we've got to resist that temptation.
That's right.
So is it just, I just got to resist? I just got to fight back? I just got to have a stronger willpower? I have a pretty strong will. But my will is not stronger than the devil.
That's right.
My will, I'm ask my mom. That's my wife. Pretty strong willed. Pretty hard headed sometimes. I go after what I don't just sit back most of the time. Mm. The knowledge of that also tells me I've got to be careful.
That's right.
Because it means I can have a tendency to go in a direction and just kind of set myself towards the sensitivity to the Lord to be able to know and understand where the enemy is working in our lives. I would encourage you to think about the world that is around us and all the advertisement and all the things that exist, and recognize that our end goal, the place we want to go, the way that the Lord wants us to live, the desires he has for us are in direct contrast to the direction that this world has. So just what I'll do is I'll put it this way. Just because it's legal does not mean it's right.
That's right.
Yes.
Just because something is legal does not mean it's something that is okay for me to be involved myself in. Really. I have to realize that where everyone else is going and the things that are accepted by, it matters who it's accepted by, but if I'm wanting to live for the Lord, then I want to have his mastery in my life to teach me the things that are good for me and not good for me, and abide by that and recognize, just because even if everyone else says, oh, this is okay, Lord, help me to see and to understand where the dangers lie, where the enticements are, what the end of it is. I thought of the rich man, Lazarus. He was so distracted by some of the things that he had. When he got to the end of his life, I think about the regret that he had. You ever met somebody who just was full of regret? It's tough. There's some, I won't say their name because they could be listening. But I know of someone that, older than me, that cuts it by some. They probably would share their testimony if they were here. But I visited with them some years ago, and they had nothing but regrets to talk about. Things that they just, life had gone by. A lot of things they were, they wanted to live in the past, and it just, there was a real sadness that I felt about that. Then they got saved.
Thank you, Lord.
And I went and visited them again. The outlook,
yes,
the freedom,
yes.
I'll say the control, the liberty,
yes.
That the enemy had been cast down. He kept them in such a place of depression and sorrow, always looking back. They were so caught in something that held them so tight.
Right.
That just the last end of their days would have been so dreary and miserable of just the what had been and what could have been and what I had and now it's gone. And it's part of the trap of the enemy that keeps folks in those places depressed,
yeah.
Sorrowful. In a place feeling cast down and hopeless. Even self-blame. How did I get you? There's just a lot of things that the enemy uses to keep people bound in those places. But when you come back to Father's house, as they said, there's a liberty, there's a clearing, there's a freedom, there's a rejoicing, and all of that regret has turned into a glory and a praise as to what God had done and an anticipation of whatever days are left and then for eternity. You sing songs about the blood and about deliverance and their eyes light up and the tears run down their cheeks. And I think it's the song of someone. The rich man got to the end and he was full of regret, but he didn't have any more opportunity. He had stayed in that place. If you're not in control of your life tonight, I want to tell you, you don't have to stay in just a place of regret of just, I wish I would have, or I wish I could have.
Yes.
I don't have to have the end of Lazarus where I look back and say, oh, it's open. Instead, there can be a new, bright anticipation that the Lord brings. There is a deliverance that He brings, those chains, they fall away, the perspective changes, the power in your life changes, and when the enemy comes and there's one song that talks about the ghost of doubts and fears, and those things are in the past.
Right.
Because the power of God is able to set my feet free. And in control, so to speak, in a place where now I do the things that I want to by the power of God. John, and in the 8th chapter, in the 28th verse. Then Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not let me alone. He said, for I do always those things that please Him. Never caught that part of this passage before. But Jesus was saying that He was in full control of what He said and what He did. He said, I always do the things that please the Father. I'm not under the... I have the ability and the power to do the things that I know I should do. And He spake these words, many believed on Him. And then Jesus to the Jews which believed on Him, said to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then you are disciples indeed. And that tells me that the call of the Lord and the truth that we understand, the things that He brings to your heart and my heart, the callings, the revelation, the understanding of what the Lord wants you to do in your life. You know what is right. I'll put it that way. The Lord inspires to our heart what is right. He has a calling for us to live according to His word. Like He said, I do always what the Father wants me to do. He also has a desire for us to do the things that He wants us to do.
Yes.
He has His word is near. It's something, if you continue in my word, if you do the things that I say, if you follow it, then you are my disciples. In other words, my followers. You follow after me. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Yes.
Means the truth of who Jesus is and his word is not binding, but it sets us at liberty. It means that the power of the word of God exercised in our life allows me to do the truth that people use this phrase, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, like it's something from a courtroom. It means the knowledge of the truth, the ability to practice it in my life, sets me at freedom and liberty from all the things that the enemy would bind me in. He has the ability to keep us by his word.
Yes.
So when the Lord comes and we know what is right, and the Lord inspires it to our heart, this is what's right.
Yes.
Then he enables us to live according to his word. It sets us free. It puts us in a place where we can live according to his word. And then they answered and said, well, we be of Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man.
Right.
How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So in your life, if you're in a place that you feel you have to sin, then that's your master.
Yes, that's right.
I'm the servant of sin. The enemy comes and he entices and he lusts, and I have no choice. I'm the servant of it.
Yeah.
I can't tell it no. I can try.
Yes.
But it overwhelms me. And it overcomes me. And I find myself, as Paul said, doing the things that I don't want to do. I want to do this,
right.
But I do this.
Yes.
And it means I'm the servant of it.
That's right.
But Jesus said he had something different. He told them, basically, you're in that bondage. Well, who are we in bondage to? Hey, look, if you're in this place, then you're a servant of that. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And this message of Jesus was the message of power.
Yes.
Of deliverance. Of enabling us to live in this dark, sinful world with all of its lust and all of its traps.
That's
and
right.
All of the things that the enemy could put before us. And by his blood and by his spirit,
yes,
you can be set free.
Right.
From all of the traps, all of it, no matter how deep. Lord might have to pick you up and plug his nose, as one said. Doesn't matter if people know about it or not. But all of the things and all of the traps and all the things that have taken the control out of your hands, the Lord has the ability to deliver us from. And not only deliver us, but to make us free indeed.
Thank the Lord.
For sure. 100% by his power.
Yes.
And again, it's not just because I have the willpower.
Yes.
There's some good habits to have. There's some carefulness that we want to have. But I'm dependent on the power of the Word of God in order to live a life that is free from sin and is well-pleasing to the Father. He said, I do always the things that please the Father. That's how I want to live my life. I want to live my life in a way that is pleasing to the Father. And by the power of Jesus, we have the liberty and the control to live our life in that way. It's what he came to bring. There's a lot of messages out there today that tell you that you have to live in a place of depravity.
Right.
That iniquity has to abound. That sin is something you just have to live with and have in your life all the time. And I would ask you the question, what was the point of Jesus Christ then? Why did he come?
Right.
If he's going to leave us in the same condition that he found me, why'd he die? What did he come to bring? So it's the devil that lies to us and tells us, I have to stay in this place.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you tonight also, because I've been there too. All right, I want to do good. I ask the Lord to help me, and he helps me. And I make it some ways, and I find myself in some of the same traps. Go back again.
Yes.
I don't care how many times it takes. Go back again and again and again and again and keep believing that the word that said, I am free indeed.
Yes.
And it's by the Lord's power that there'll come a time in your life when you'll look back and
that's
say,
right.
That's where I used to live.
Right.
Son, I don't live there anymore. Those traps that used to hold me, they don't have that power any longer.
Yes.
Have things in my... I readily admit that in my experience, there's things I've had to come back and say, Lord, help me, and help me, and help me. But I'm not giving up because I know
that's
where the
right.
deliverance is.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you are,
yes.
if you are not in control of your life, the Lord wants to give you that control.
Yes.
And understand what I'm saying with that. That yes, of course, I'm submitted to the Lord, and I live by His Word, but I'm telling you, there's a freedom in salvation that is specific, that allows us to live our life in a way that doesn't have the regret and the shame and the heartache of separation from God. I can go to bed at night with saying, I've done all that I can for the Lord today. And yeah, there are some places I needed His help. And Lord, I needed Your grace here. And I've had to go and apologize sometimes. But that's the mercy of the Lord. When He says, Ken, this is something you need to clean. Yes, Lord, I'm right there. And I have the control and the power and the ability by His grace to go and make right those things that He's brought to my mind.
Yes.
Well, I want to encourage you tonight. Are you in control? Are you in control? Or when the master plays its tune, do you have to dance?
Yeah.
And if you're in that place, I hope none of you are. I hope we sing some songs and everybody goes home saying, I'm free, free indeed. But if you're in that place tonight, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
He comes, and I just, okay, yes, I'll dance. I've got no choice. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord has a deliverance
yes,
for
that's
you
right.
in your life.
Yes.
He has a power to break the chains of the enemy and to set your feet on a new path and to enable you day by day. It's a daily walk to live according to His word.
Yes.
That you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, not only free, but free indeed.
Yes. Yes.
Thankful tonight that I don't have to live in the clutches of the enemy.
Yes.
Yes.
Thankful tonight that Jesus came and He broke the power.
Yes.
Though I beheld Satan, fell from heaven.
Yes.
Power of God to break it.
Amen.
And to set us on a new path.
Yes.
Oh, tonight, if you're struggling, if you're in a place that maybe you just feel like you don't have the power that you need, the Lord can bring a power
yes,
that is,
right.
again, we talked Thursday night about living in the red zone. The divine power of God is necessary in order to enable us to win the victory in our life. I want to be obedient to His word and do, but Lord, I need You to do something for me. I have my part. If I have a problem with alcohol, I don't want to go live in the bar.
Right.
I have a part to be careful. If I deal with stress a lot and you want to start smoking the weed, you're going to lose control. There's one scripture that says that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Another part in the same part says, I'll not be brought under the power of any. Be careful about what you allow yourself to get attached to where you lose control or to lose power. Because it'll bind you in that place.
Yes.
Resist it. Those escapes will bind you and trap you and carry you to a place where you'll look back and you'll have lost your family. You'll have lost the things that matter to you. You're full of regret and heartache. The Lord has a deliverance. He has a stress escape for us. He has a peace for us that is pure, that is righteous, that is gentle, that fosters the good things in our life. So when the enemy paints this picture as the answer to deal with the things in life, it's got a bite to it. It's got a chain attached to it. It's got a trap that I can't get free from. And I go back, just because things are legal does not mean that they're where I want to be.
Yes.
Oh, tonight the Lord wants to set you free. Every area of our life. Lord, I don't want to just be free in some... Lord, I want to be able to live like you called me to. And he's not going to call me to live in a way that he doesn't give us the power and the grace to live in a way that is pleasing to him. So I encourage you tonight, life's got, if you've got yourself caught up, or you just need the Lord to help break some things in your life, the Lord has the word of truth that will come in and break the power of the enemy and enable you to live in a way that is pleasing in the eyes of God. Pray for me.
Yes.